Okay, ma'am, can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you just fine, thank you.
That's fantastic. Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Full name, this is Brenda Brooks, and my ABC number is 1-4-5-5-9-9.
Thank you. And good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed under warrant of arrest.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Last part?
This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed under warrant of arrest.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what those were. I know, maybe you could, tell me what they are. I know that I was arrested for something like trafficking in the city of
I'm reading out the script right now, and I'll explain everything to you, and I will read those three allegations to you shortly, okay?
Certainly, thank you.
Okay, again, this hearing is regarding three alleged violations. You should have been given a form notifying you this at least 5 days ago. We have that you signed for your notification of board hearing on April 12, 2018, do you remember that, ma'am?
I was asked if I wanted to see the parole board, yes, and I signed that paper.
Okay, that form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today?
Yes, sir.
What?
Did you ask me if I have an attorney representing me today?
Okay. First, I'm going to ask you if you're hearing me clearly, because I want to make sure that I'm not, like, cutting out or coming off muffled. Is my voice too loud? Is it causing some distortion?
No, let me say I hear you 90% of the time, and there's a few words that I don't catch. So,
okay.
Like, otherwise, I hear you clearly.
Okay. What I was stating is that the form you signed listed your hearing rights. One of those rights, and listen to me carefully, is that you can hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. Hearing your attorney with you, are you representing yourself today?
I will be representing myself today.
Thank you, ma'am. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. This is a telephonic hearing. You cannot see us, but we have three board members today. In the room is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Lee Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead this afternoon. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Westby, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Ms. Brooks and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm?
I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Thank you, ma'am. And Mr. Westby? Okay. And Ms. Brooks, just let me stop for 1 second here. I recognize we have some supporters in the room. Who are you here for?
Farnberg.
Okay, just want to make sure that we're not bypassing you. Because just for your knowledge, when it gets to that stage in your hearing, we'll read you in as well. Okay?
I'm right. I'm sorry, sir. I did not hear that last part.
That part was just for inside the hearing room, and it did not relate to the hearing. So I'm just going to continue reading the script. This hearing, can you hear me?
Yes.
Will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision.
Okay.
Phase two, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked.
Okay.
Now, because you sound new to this process, I want to make sure that you understand that between phase one and phase two, there's a separate vote to pass from phase one to phase two. So if we read that vote, I'll ask you not to be alarmed because we're only passing from phase one to phase two, okay?
Okay, sorry, let me clarify, if you will. You said there's two phases. The first stage is to establish if I did or did not, what's the word I'm looking for, violate my conditions of parole. And the second phase is whether you'll reinstate me or not. But you said in between there, there's... I didn't catch that.
Oh, there's a separate vote that passes from phase one to phase two. And sometimes when people are in the process and they hear that vote, they think we're done or that we've made a decision and we haven't yet. But It's only to pass from phase one to phase two, okay?
Okay.
When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we will talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated the conditions of phase one. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? Ma'am?
I'm with me.
Okay. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest.
Okay.
According to the warrant, and I'm going to go one by one, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal arrangement company as follows. And before I continue, I just caught something here, so I want to make sure that you're clear on this too. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether it is true, false, or you wish to remain silent. The reason why we give you the remain silent option is because according to the warrant, you may have a pending charge in the criminal justice system. This hearing is recorded, and we give you that option to protect your rights. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, sir.
Okay, so I'm going to read the allegations to you. You need to respond whether it is true, false, or you wish to remain silent.
Okay.
Once again, according to the warrant of arrest, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal arrangement company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your being in possession of an illegal substance on March 20th, 2018 in Maricopa County, Arizona. Ms. Brooks, is this true, false, or you wish to remain silent?
It is false. I know that I was put under arrest for.
Okay.
Why would it be false? I haven't used a substance for 4 years.
Okay, ma'am, if you hold on, during phase one, we're just asking whether it's true or false, you wish to remain silent. In the second phase, you'll have a chance to speak to the board in detail, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I know that that was an allegation, and that is true. Yes, I do know that was an allegation.
Okay. Allegation number two, violation of condition number five, is demonstrated by you being in possession of a glass pipe on March 20th, 2018, in Maricopa County, Arizona. Ms. Brooks, is this true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
I know it's an allegation, but I say false.
Okay. And then allegation number three, violation of condition number five, is demonstrated by you being illegally scavenging through refuge on March 20th, 2018, in Maricopa County, Arizona. Is this true or false, or do you wish to remain silent? Okay. Based on your statement that allegations one and two are false, we're going to take background information from our Department of Corrections representative, and then we'll ask you a few questions about those allegations before we move to phase two. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Resby, if you will.
Okay.
On March 22, 2018, Officer Crean received information from the Scottsdale Police Department that Officer Mackey, number 1262, made a traffic stop on the gold 2003 Oldsmobile Alero in the area of North 84th Street and Shea Boulevard in Scottsdale, Arizona, on March 20, 2018, at approximately 1:08 a.m. The stop was initiated due to the vehicle running a red light. During the stop, Officer Mackey identified the driver with a valid Arizona driver's license as the offender, Brenda Brooks. During his conversation with the offender, he noticed that the offender was leaning over the center console of the compartment and spoke in a manner as if she was trying to conceal something. Officer Mackey stated he directed the offender to exit the vehicle and continued his conversation with the offender. According to Officer Mackey, he questioned the offender as to why she was in the area. The offender replied that she was lost and was trying to find an I-10 interstate. According to Officer Mackey, the offender was observed coming from a residential neighborhood to the north of East Shea Boulevard on North 84th Street. Officer Mackey identified this area as a very dark residential-only neighborhood. According to Officer Mackey, the offender was observed to be very fidgety and unable to stand still during the conversation. Officer Mackey requested the offender's permission to search her vehicle as he believed the offender was in the area to commit criminal acts such as burglaries. According to Officer Mackey, the offender refused his request to search, stating she had sex toys in the vehicle and she did not want him to see them. According to Officer Mackey, he questioned the offender about the stacks of things he observed in her vehicle. The family stated that she removed the items from a recycled container that was in front of her residence just north of East Shea Boulevard and North 84th Street. The family pointed to three large frame pictures, a box with a coffee maker, and a plastic humidifier that were located stacked up behind the driver's seat of the vehicle. According to Officer Mackey, during the traffic stop, Scottsdale K-9 Officer Wells, number 1258, arrived on scene. Officer Mackey stated the offender left the driver's side door open when she left the vehicle, and during a, quote, free air sniff, the K-9 jumped into the vehicle. Officer Mackey stated that the offender became concerned as the K-9 entered her vehicle. According to Officer Mackey, K-9 Officer Wells advised that the K-9 showed interest in the center console compartment of the vehicle. On March 20, 2018, approximately 1:34 a.m., the offender was placed under arrest for illegal scavenging and refuge. A pat search of the offender was conducted, and she was placed in the back of a marked patrol vehicle. Officer Mackey stated that he conducted the search of the offender's vehicle and found a black-colored zipper pouch, which was open and found to contain an old sock containing a clear glass pipe, which, based on his training experience, was recognized as being used to smoke methamphetamine. He additionally located a clear plastic baggie containing a crystalline substance that he recognized as being methamphetamine based on his training and experience. According to Officer Mackey, the crystalline substance was transported to the District 2 station where Scottsdale Police Officer Lesser, number 1383, conducted a turnip test on a crystalline substance which confirmed its origin to be methamphetamine. On March 20, 2018, the offender was transported to Maricopa County Jail where she was booked on one felony count and possession of dangerous drugs.
Okay, just for the sake of time management, Mr. Westby, it would seem that allegation number two's merit is the same as allegation number one?
That is correct, with the exception of follow-up number two being on March 20th, 2017, the offender was transported to Maricopa County Jail, where she was booked on one felony count of possession of drug paraphernalia.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Ms. Brooks. What is false about allegations one and two?
Are you asking me about allegations one and two?
Yes. What is false about them?
Well, I'm just telling you that report doesn't sound like anything the way that it happened. I know that he asked me for my driver's license and my registration, and I handed that to him. And when he came back to the window, I wasn't doing anything, sticking stuff back in my glove box that I pulled out to get him my driver's license and registration. Now, at that point, he told me to step out of the vehicle. He got very suspicious of me, asked me to step out of the vehicle. I stepped out. And, he called the K-9 unit. I watched the man at the K-9 unit tell him, no, there's nothing in that vehicle. I watched this whole thing, no. And then he asked me where the boxes came from. I told him, yes, I had picked them up on the side of the road in the city of Scottsdale. I'm very guilty of that if that was illegal. But I do know that there's Craigslist apps all over the place that say, if you want this stuff, come pick it up. I was arrested under that. That's what he said he was putting me under arrest for. He put me in the back of his vehicle. He proceeded to search my vehicle. After the K-9 units showed interest, he said no, there was nothing in there. Then he comes back to me and tells me there was paraphernalia in my vehicle. As far as he didn't make me about any use of it or any substance, he said paraphernalia in my vehicle.
Okay,
and at that point, I was already being arrested anyway.
We're going to go ahead and pass from phase one to phase two, and this is why I warned you that there'd be a separate vote as we move from phase one to phase two, but you'll have a chance to speak to the board in greater detail during the second phase of the hearing. Okay, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018W0880, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find Ms. Brooks delinquent as she violated terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have or have lapsed in a criminal agent company.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Right. Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by Mr. Neal. Okay, Ms. Brooks, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. It is during this phase, as we discussed earlier, that we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Wesby, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly for questions, and as I stated, you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Mr. Wesby.
On September 18th, 2017, Ms. Brooks was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. She was arrested March 20th, 2018 by Scottsdale PD on new felony charges of possession of dangerous drugs and possession of drug paraphernalia. She was back in DOC custody March 28th, 2016 with a projected CSED of July 15th, 2018, 0 abscondes. Current conviction, 2014, aggravated taking the identity of another, 2 counts, each for 4.5 years. 2014, dangerous drug violation, 1.5 years. Prior convictions, 1999, dangerous drug violation, 5 years. 2005, dangerous drug violation, 5 years. 2005, child / adult abuse, 3.5 years. 2011, dangerous drug violation, 1 year. This is her fourth term in the Department of Corrections. CUIR score, 2.2, mental health score, 1, substance abuse score, 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2003, TIS release completion, 1 year. 2008, TIS release completion, 1 year. 2011, TIS release completion, 4 months. Disciplinary violations are minimal with sex acts noted. Arrest on record. There's approximately over 20 arrests that she has on record, mostly the drug related. However, all charges were either dismissed or not processed. Her community risk score is a G1 V1. And I do have stats and charges from Senior Parole Officer Tim Allen dated April 27, 2018 that states Maricopa County Attorney's Office was contacted on today's date and was found that the 2 pending charges from Scottsdale PD, possession of dangerous drugs and possession of drug paraphernalia, were both refused for prosecution on March 22, 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Wesby. Back to you, Ms. Brooks.
Okay, I will be the first one to admit that I have a horrible, horrible past. And George has been a horrible, horrible past. Oh, excuse me.
Well, I'm going to ask some questions based on the case supervision summary, and then I think we can concentrate a little bit on I have to make a review of the case supervision summary. And it looks like that you're released from the Department of Corrections to reside at 1053 West Lisa Lane in Tempe, Arizona. Is that where you lived the entire time that you were under community supervision?
Yes, I lived with my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. And that is right.
We have employment notes that you reported JJ Safety, LLC.
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that part.
We have employment notes that you reported employment at JJ Safety.
That is correct. However, since I've been here yesterday, I went to a job fair. I want you to know, I want the board to know, that I know I have had a problem. It doesn't stop here upon release. Like, I know that it's something I have to work at every single day. And going to meetings and going to whatever it takes to keep my sobriety is something I fully plan to do. And I'm not just blowing smoke, I'm not just giving you guys some... And it's something I have to do for the rest of my life because it's affected my whole life. But yes, I have it. I could go back to JG Safety. They're more than willing to have me back. My bosses were great. However, I didn't feel like I was very good at that job. I ended up quitting that job in search of another job. When I was arrested, I was searching for a job. However, since I've been here, I went to the job fair yesterday, I actually have an interview. If you choose to release me, I have an interview that's going to be Friday at 1:30 with a lady named Ms. Stanton for a company called FRS Connect. And she said, based on talking to me and the experience I have, she would hire me. So that is, and it's off of, It's off of 1004 North 43rd Avenue. So I have the transportation, I can get there, and say you don't choose to release me, this is still somebody that I would go to work for upon my release.
Okay, ma'am. Here is the big question for me as the hearing lead, and that is, have you been clean from drug use since you have returned to the Department of Corrections?
Absolutely.
And how are you doing?
I'm doing so much better, and I can tell you that just this morning, I realized something, and I'm going to try not to cry. It's probably the thing that's kept me from relapsing every time. But this morning, I was reading my Bible, and I realized something very important. That, I mean, I can preserve myself well, and I can be a good role model for so many people around me. But, I mean, even in here, I've done it many times. I've worked good jobs. I've done what I'm supposed to do. But then I keep coming back, and it's a lesson that I keep teaching them, too. I mean, it's not something I want to do. I realize that no matter how good I am, like, this is a longer lesson. Like, it's something that maybe I don't teach somebody just the first day, or they see me one time and say, she presents herself well, she's doing all the right things. It's not that there's the lessons that they learn from me. It's when they come back and they see me, and it's, I don't know, for me, it feels like I really something very important about myself.
Okay.
Can you explain?
It sounds like that you've been through the system a few times, and I want to be very sincere when I say this.
Okay.
If you don't turn the corner and commit to your sobriety, we're going to keep seeing you over and over again. We don't want that. I know you don't. We don't either. So you feel better since you've been clean. What are the triggers that return you to drug use when you're out in the street? Now, I'm not accusing you of anything relating to this last charge, but what are the triggers?
I've identified my triggers. One of my triggers is not having money. And I also realized that another trigger is not working and having that schedule. I need that. I need a schedule, I need to know that I'm doing something productive, and I'm not just being a fop, you know? I need to know that I'm being part of the community, part of a good citizen, or else I'm feeling like, what good is it? Another one is that because I've been in so many times, it's like to think that's who I am, even though I know it's not. Another trigger for me is just not having a good path, not having a good goal in mind. I have goals. I've always had goals, but I realize that everything that I've taken for granted, my health, my family, my kids, like I've always taken them for granted, but they're not really mine. They're just mine to care for. You know? It's something that I have to treat well, because they can be taken, my freedom, they can be taken away from me at any time. Like, I never really owned it. So, I know that things have to change in my life.
Okay, quick question, and I'm going to ask...
Fine, but it's such a serious deal for me.
I'm going to ask my fellow board members in a second if they want to ask any questions, but were you receiving any treatment while you were outside?
So during the time I was in, yes, I received a lot of treatment. I went to the Women in Recovery, which is a 6-month program. I still do NA, and I will still do NA when I get out there. I'm in a program right now who's the ones who helped me with this job fair yesterday, so that if I do get out, I have a position to go to. And it's something I will continue to do. And also, the ladies who I spoke with, I asked them yesterday and told them that I may or may not receive my board. And I asked them if there was any help that I could get to. They said, go to any DUS office or go to Father Matters. which is something I'm going to do right away.
Okay, ma'am, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I have no questions from fellow board members. Ms. Borch, we're getting close to the
end of your hearing. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
We're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat yourself in the interest of time management, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel that is important to share?
The last thing I would have to say is if I'm released on parole again, I mean, I will do obviously everything that it takes to, anything that it takes to do it right and to be on track and to go to work and be productive and reach, you know, work towards my goals. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Brooks. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes? So if you just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision.
Thank you, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is a very unfortunate case. I recognize that Ms. Brooks has an ongoing struggle with drugs. I like what I'm hearing. At the same time, I know that she has really been through a long journey here. I'm hoping that she's being straightforward when she says that she's been clean since she's returned to the Department of Corrections. And I will tell you right up front, because her charges were dropped, that doesn't necessarily mean that she wasn't in violation of her conditions. But because her charges were dropped, I am wrangling as to whether or not to return her to community supervision with some amendments, or whether or not she should finish these last weeks, because it's not long, in the correction system, and I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Does anyone have any strong feelings about whether or not we should return her to the street or keep her in the system?
Well, she sounds like she's made up her mind, but I spent 30 years listening to one of my relatives that made up his mind as many times as he could to get himself out of trouble. It's always hard to tell for sure. There is less, a little less than 2 months left on her sentence. So, I guess I will go with you if you want.
I'm going to actually make a motion, and that is that based on the information that's provided to us in warrant number 2018W0880, our discussion with Ms. Brooks, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Brooks is delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of her supervision, and that Anne Hadlock was about to lapse into criminal laser company, inasmuch that she did have police contact. She was illegally scavenging to refuge. And it would be apparent that also that during her time of supervision that she was inconsistent with providing her samples, and that is my motion.
Second. Agree.
Seconded by Mr. Neal and Mr. Johnson. Ms. Brooks, your supervision has been revoked and will be released on or about July 15, 2018. That is less than 2 months away. We strongly encourage you to take any NA or AA classes that are available to you in these last weeks. It's a short amount of time. It's a matter of weeks, not years. And we do wish you success in your return to the community. Please take advantage of this time to put together a plan. And I sincerely hope that you're ready to turn the corner on your sobriety and stay productive. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we'd appreciate it if you give the phone back to your CO3. Thank you, ma'am.
Well, you know what? I appreciate all of your time, and I get it. So, I'll go ahead and hand it over. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye. This is Brandy Funder.
Yes, are you,